My husband put a child's hammer into his briefcase a summer ago. It was small, made of steel, part of a toy tool set. He forgot about it and a few weeks later set off on a trip. At the airport, after his bag passed through the X-ray machine, the guards asked him to step aside. "What's with the hammer?" they asked. He explained that he'd brought it to work to put up a picture and hadn't realized he still had it in his briefcase. It belonged to his kids, he said. Couldn't he please get through, get on the flight just this once? Of course, they responded, but without the hammer. A few days ago, it became crystal clear why. Hammers can become dangerous weapons, and such weapons aren't allowed on board aircraft. The U.S. code prohibits concealed dangerous weapons that would be accessible to a passenger during a flight. But now we know that there was a gaping loophole in that dangerous weapons provision. Before last Tuesday, had my husband attempted to bring on board not a child's hammer, but a knife with a 4-inch blade, security guards would likely have waved him through. As we heard last week, only knives with blades longer than 4 inches were prohibited on aircraft, all other knives allowed. What were we thinking? Ask a man named Donald Thomas Margraff. Back in 1971, he tried to board TWA Flight 35 from Philadelphia to San Francisco. He carried in his pocket a 7-inch knife with a 3 1/4-inch blade, something the court called a case-folding knife. That knife set off an alarm as he walked through a security checkpoint. "Are you carrying a weapon?" they asked him. "No," he answered. And when they found the knife, authorities arrested him under the statute preventing passengers from carrying deadly weapons on board aircraft. Mr. Margraff stood his ground and argued that his knife wasn't a deadly weapon at all, too small, too innocent. But Mr. Margraff lost at the trial level. With horrific foresight, the district court wrote that even a smaller knife can be used to kill, maim, and threaten on board an aircraft. The conviction stands. Same at the appellate level. A majority of judges brushed aside the defendant's now incredibly naive argument that should the decision stand, even Boy Scouts wouldn't be allowed to bring their pocket knives with them when they take a plane. The majority opinion did not stand. Mr. Margraff appealed to the United States Supreme Court, and there, government attorneys changed their minds and decided that Mr. Margraff's knife and the circumstances surrounding his airport encounter did not fit the dangerous weapon definition. The Justice Department itself, in a chilling reversal, decided that a knife like one carried by Mr. Margraff could be brought on board an aircraft, that it wasn't a dangerous weapon under the law after all. Chilling, because the man who approved of that interpretation, the man behind that reversal, the man who decided that that knife didn't fit the legal definition of deadly weapon, was the Solicitor General of the United States, the nation's top litigator, the person whose office represents the United States in front of the Supreme Court. Chilling, because as we learned last week, the nation's current Solicitor General, Ted Olson, lost his wife to hijackers who reportedly had carried just such a knife, using it to commandeer a giant aircraft and then taking many, many people, including Barbara Olson, with them when they crashed it into the Pentagon. If you logged onto the FAA website late last week, 2 days after the planes slammed into our buildings, and clicked on Frequently Asked Questions, you'd find this query among the mundane. How large a knife can I carry on board with me? The matter-of-fact, almost trying-to-please answer, FAA guidelines allow knives with blades up to 4 inches. Another reminder of a much more trusting time. Now certainly even Boy Scouts will not be able to take their knives on board an aircraft. Those knives will go the way of the hammer. And that's a very good thing. I'm Amy Guida.